All right, well, welcome back to Build Live, powered by Channel 9. I'm Christina Warren.
I am Seth Juarez.
And we just finished watching our second day two keynote. Joe Belfiore gave a great overview of
everything
happening. I was so excited.
And you know what? Like, I know this is going to sound nerdy of me, but that Notepad announcement, I tell you what, I loved it.
No, okay, honestly, me too. I was like, okay, finally, my Linux stuff will work in Notepad. Also, I think I should call out, I'm a PC shirt.
There you go.
This is doing my little part to be on brand. People always give me a hard time for using a Mac. Mm-hmm. And look, solidarity today.
I love it. And by the way, we're going to have a couple of guests that were in the keynote. They're rushing them over as we speak. And so I believe it's going to be Kevin Gallo and Yina Arenas.
Exactly. And so both of them had huge parts of the keynote. And we're going to be talking about lots of stuff having to do with Windows and also with the Microsoft Graph. There were a ton of announcements. One of the early things, this was actually announced yesterday, was the Windows 10 new feature where you'll be able to get your phone information on Windows 10. Now, what do you think about that? Because I'm stoked.
I am really thrilled about that, and like the demos were a spot on. It felt like they were actually like speaking to us in our troubles, and I love the thought of, like, I pick up my phone all the time, and like she said, I lose what, 10, 15 minutes.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, it's always one of those things. I love the Continuum PC feature, just like I like, you know, Continuum. That's good stuff, too. But to be able to have that ability to have that inbox on your desktop, I like that a lot.
The other thing that I thought was cool is this notion of timeline and being able to see the things that you've been working on and go back to them.
Yes, because very frequently, especially in the workday, you know, because our phones and our computers are so intertwined now, you know, I'm in that situation where I'm on my phone and then something will happen on my PC. And I don't necessarily know, and I'm like, okay, what was that? I'm in a different place. Okay, let me go back to that, and this is great.
You're absolutely right. I mean, because when I'm doing computing, like, the device blur is going away. I'm like, oh, I saw this thing on the internet, but I'm not thinking which device, I'm thinking the internet, and it's good to be able to continue that wherever I'm doing computing.
Exactly, because at this point, it's no longer, oh, I'm on my work computer, and that's the only place I'm doing work. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, we're in the cafeteria together.
Right.
We frequently are, and we're getting messages. Somebody, I just saw this in the chat, it went away, but a Seth in the chat said hello to you, Seth.
Oh.
So shout out to the Chef Longcore.
Seth, you know, we should have like an annual Seth gathering.
SethCon?
I'll probably be like the only Hispanic Seth there. Maybe two.
Yeah.
So the other question I want to ask you, and I want to get your take on this,
sure,
is what did you think of this notion of sets, of being able to have like this thread of processes all together in like a browser-looking window? Did you get to see that?
Yeah, I did, and I love that. That, to me, that's the productivity that makes sense for how I work.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things is like the demo that I liked the best was like, you're working on something, you go off and look something up, you go off and look at this other thing to contribute to this thing, and it's cool to have it all in one place.
Yes.
And the other thing that I liked is the ability to, when you open that thing up in timeline, it says, hey, this is actually part of a set of things you were working on. Do you want to open that back up?
Yeah, because you always have those situations, or at least I do, where I was working on a lot of things at once, and I might open up one document, and it was like, okay, but these other things were part of it as well. Mm-hmm. Yes, I forgot that I had that PowerPoint open. I forgot that browser was open to these tabs. Thank you. Bring all of this together so I don't have to recreate all that work.
And like the stream of consciousness that you have when you're doing work, it's actually super nice to have it all there in one place. I actually love that part a lot.
I love that too. And I know that one of the things we're actually going to have on live on Build Live tomorrow, Tim will be talking with the guys behind Chocolaty and Boxstarter.
Oh, cool.
And what's great about that is because, you know, Kevin mentioned being able to make, you know, your Windows box, you know, your basically your main box. And that's doing automation setups is a huge part of that. Being able to just run a few commands to automatically install packages and scripts is great.
Yeah, I mean, before I came to Build, I decided to reformat my machine. I repaved it.
Yes.
You heard about that.
I saw it.
It was the worst mistake I've made in several hours. I mean, but the thing about having an install script like Chocolaty or Boxstarter to like reformat your machine and then just bring everything down is amazing, and it's great that we're adding reference scripts to those for a developer. If they're a web developer, they might have a Node install. If they're a UWP developer,
that's
it might be Visual Studio and not VS Code. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Well, that's the thing, is that every everybody's setup is different. And but at your organization, whether you're big or small, you might want everybody to have a similar setup. So if you can do those scripts so that either if it's more than one person, or even if it's just your case, mm-hmm. where it's the night before build and you have to reinstall your machine. I saw it happen, guys.
Yeah, it was not smart.
You can just easily get it run up and running, and that way, you know, save some time. I love it.
Awesome. So let's move on now to the office stuff.
Yeah.
Because we're going to ask them, like, we're going to give you a preview of the stuff we'll ask them. We want to make sure that you queue your questions up because we're very interested in the questions that you have. Obviously, what you have to say as customers of Microsoft is super important, and your questions are also super important. I liked the way they said, and this was Joe Belfiore, Office, think of software as a value you create that you can add into people's already existing experience. Because you and I, we both live in Outlook all the time.
All the time.
And if we could add like bits of value into Outlook, that's a great thing, right?
Absolutely.
What do you think of the demos? There was one for the functions for Excel.
Yeah.
There was one for the cards inside of Outlook, and then the other one was adding tabs for Teams. Any thoughts on those?
So I really liked the Excel functions demo, and we're going to talk about Ines about that because I really like that because you run into this a lot. And again, this is kind of the power of the cloud, is that I might have a certain function that I'm using for my script, and then when I share this file with you, if it's not attached, then something's not working correctly.
Right.
And I've got to add on those add-ons, and it can be complicated. And now everybody in my group can do it and get all that data the way that they need to.
The other thing that for me, because I like AI, right? The thing that I was most interested in is these things look like you can call Azure Functions. It felt like, if I got it wrong, she'll correct me. But you can call this bit of functionality. I can create models and deploy them there and have Excel do inferencing on rows of data, right?
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
No, that's amazing.
Okay, looks like they're over there. They're getting ready to come over here.
We're getting ready. So get your questions lined up and let us know what questions you have for our gang.
Awesome. The other thing that I liked is this notion of Outlook. Like, imagine embedding things into Outlook emails. What were your thoughts? What are some ideas that you have for people that they can, like, what are some things that you wish you could just do in Outlook?
I mean, honestly, I wish that sometimes I could like order a car. I'm not even joking because sometimes you're doing like an appointment and you're like, I would like to just be able to book this right here.
Oh my goodness, that's a good idea. So like if you're doing booking type things, you could like you send an Outlook appointments being emailed to you with a specific location, would you like to reserve a car?
Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, that was what kind of occurred to me. So, I mean, unsurprisingly to you, because you've done this before, but I've been doing a whole bunch of calendar invites
over
the past couple of weeks.
That's right.
For Build Live. And, yeah, when you look at that, you're thinking, yes, if I could just attach stuff to that, that would be great. What about you?
Well, the thing about that I like the most is that, like, generally, like, I'm old school programmer, and my problem is that when I think of software, I think of, like, this gray box of things that I can do, and I don't think of like units of functionality that I can embed into Office, for example. And to me, like instead of thinking about like, do I have to build this entire thing, instead I can think of my company as an organization that provides value to customers, and where can I actually inject that value, right? And that's the thing that I'm actually excited about as developers. Okay, so we're gonna have you guys sit down. It looks like you're already here. We've got some guests here.
Some special guests.
Kevin, you took the button-up shirt, man.
Yes, I did.
I was going to say, you did a costume change.
Of course.
But look at it, it's Contoso. I want that shirt now. Yeah. Like, you gotta have more.
You notice Joe was wearing it too, right?
I didn't
under Ace's hoodie.
I didn't notice that. I gotta have like I work for Contoso shirt.
That's the best thing in the world, man.
So what we're gonna do is we're gonna divide this up.
Yep.
Because you know I'm more of the Debbie type guy, and you're like an Office power user.
Sure.
And so what we're gonna do is we're gonna divide this up. I'm gonna talk to you first about some of the dev stuff.
Yep.
And then she's gonna talk about some of the Office stuff. And then make sure you stop me when there's a good question.
I will. Okay. I will, and vice versa.
Okay. So, Kevin.
Yes.
I was thoroughly impressed because it seemed to me that as a company, we're like, we know what you're doing and we want to make it easier for you
Absolutely.
To move forward. Can you give us some of the announcements that help sort of give that message?
Well, I think, first of all, it's kind of like, I don't know if it was a specific announcement, I'll go through a couple of them.
Sure.
But I'll say it was it was a strategy and approach that we took to everything that we did. So if you look even at the graph, you can get to it regardless of where you're coming from, what technology you're going and doing. Even ink analysis, by putting it in cognitive services,
right,
you can now access it from any place, just like all the other cognitive services. Mm-hmm. Well, it's built into Windows. We make it easier on Windows and easier in Office in our products. We want to make sure that you can reach all the places you need to reach, whether it's going from Windows to your phone, whether it's going from Windows to HoloLens, or even your back end and your front end. We talked about XAML Islands.
Right.
Where we really want to make sure that Fluent can be used by anyone and adopted in the technology, in the flow of what they're doing, and you can just change what you need and not really everything else. That gives you that flexibility to do adoption and to get usage.
I like the XAML Islands because it felt like it was analogous to the stuff that we did a couple of years ago, where you can start moving your app over little by little into the UWP space, but now you can actually take your current app and then introduce the UWP space into it. And it felt like it was like an analogous sort of thing.
In some ways, we're really building these as system capabilities. It's no longer, it's UWP and you build, these are the five parts. Hey, you can adopt a security model in the container, you can adopt UI, and these are all parts of UWP, which was really our modern destination.
Sure.
But just pick it as a system capability, use it in your application, and easily adopt it. So we've systemized most of UWP now, and we're still looking at where it makes sense to do more.
The cool thing is I like that you open an app that most organizations already have, and you said, let me improve it a little bit.
Yep.
It improved it a lot, but let me improve the experience. And you didn't say, like, because look, to be honest, we go out there and we're like, hey, here's this new thing, everyone use it. Now you're like, we know you do this, here's how we can make it better.
Yep.
Tell us how XAML Islands can take existing applications and just make them more fresh, more new, and more functional.
There's many controls we've introduced. Some of them larger, some of them small, but say like even a media player control. You want to update the media playing, you want support to the new codecs, you want 4K, you can go embed that now, and just where you had an old media player control, drop in a new one. Mm-hmm. You can do that, you even put swap chain panel. I mentioned that one because that does all that DX interop, so if you actually are one hosting some DX code that you've built, you can now easily integrate that into your WinForms and DavePass application.
Right.
So the goal here is, any of those controls that we've been releasing over the last few years are available to everyone.
Awesome.
And the nice thing is it really is seamless. You can't see the lines, they don't stitch. And we actually added the high density mode so that it looks more like sometimes these traditional desktop apps.
Right.
Sometimes you want them to span to tablet and be more touch friendly. A lot of times you want to be a little bit more mouse keyboard optimized.
Right.
And so we've kind of given that flexibility as well.
And the reason why is because you don't want to create this situation where you're creating the Franken apps that, oh my goodness, what did you just bolt in here? Right?
Yes.
And we don't want that.
Yeah. I didn't use the Franken app up there.
I know. I made
apps,
that up.
Or whatever you want to go do,
I made that up just now. Sorry.
I always use that word. No, actually,
oh, do you?
Oh, no. That was one of the words, and I said, Franken app, nobody knows that.
I said it. Now
you know
now you won't get, I'll get in trouble now, which is okay, right? But it's actually a good idea. Yeah, go ahead.
For MSIX, which is great that it's got the Windows 7 compatibility, is there going to be support for extensions in MSIX?
So when we look at extensions, I'll talk a little bit about MSIX. So it's really about building that whole full deployment stack. So with extensions, we're looking at a way of making it, so going through the store, we can have managed extensions. We're piloting it first with Office, so we want to kind of get the workflow where Office extensions will be able to go through our store and then part of it. We're even looking at things like mods. So one of the things that game developers have asked for, and even game makers, sometimes the community wants mods and sometimes the makers don't. But we'll allow the person who's publishing to allow mods. Now, mods are a little bit special. Add-ins typically we recommend you run them out of proc, and we usually really encourage you to run them out of proc. So if the extension crashes, your app does not crash. But some cases, like in mods,
right,
or even older extensions that you want to work, they run in proc, and they want to run in the same container. So we're actually looking at work where we can say, hey, these extensions can run in a container, and you can now get some of those great mods that game developers love to go add, but when you run a tournament, say, no, the mods don't run.
Awesome.
So we can actually give this nice flexibility with add-ins. It's a huge spectrum, where you can go do it. Now, we already do a bunch with DLC, downloadable content, but some of these binary ones, we're even experimenting there.
That's awesome. I'm glad you stopped me because questions are the most important. So we'll get to Manfred. Is there any quota limit when adding data to the Microsoft Graph? What if an application starts adding a terabyte of information to the graph? That you leave it to a dev to be like, Okay, what's the limit we got here? Can you answer that one, Ina?
Absolutely. So the way that we're extending the Microsoft Graph today is that you can add your own data to the resources that we already have in the graph. So for example, you have a user, you have a group or a message or things like that, and you can extend that schema with open extensions or schematized extensions. There is a limit on the amount of bytes that you can put into the data that you bring in. But in general, if you think about the number of those resources that are within an organization, that it's pretty large. So I wouldn't be concerned about that right
okay.
now.
Okay.
Awesome.
Good question. Next question from Bruce. I think it's for you. What about backwards compat with WinUI and what controls are part of it? Why don't you describe what WinUI is first, and then we can get to that question.
So what we're doing is we're beginning this process whereby we will release the platform controls. So when we add new ones, we will go bring them down. We're saying anniversary update now, but it'll probably be like, you know, one or two versions back. You think 3 years from now, we're not probably going all the way back. But it gives you that window. The most important are really the next two releases, where we've been rolling out Windows very aggressively, but even the day we release it, it takes time to ramp that up.
Sure.
And so what we've done is we've given out these controls as binaries in the package, and you can go use them in Windows. They're built on public APIs, just like all UI controls are.
Sure.
And you can start using them immediately in your applications. Just like normal controls would be done out there. So.
Awesome. Next question.
All right, so it looked like, and this is from Janet, Graph in Excel was done with JavaScript, and you call that out a couple times. Can you do the same thing with C#?
So there were two things that I showed. One was the custom functions. Those are written in JavaScript. And the second one was accessing data from an Excel spreadsheet using the Microsoft Graph. And that you can do, because it's a REST call, you can basically call with any language. And we have libraries for .NET. We have Java, JavaScript. We have PHP, Python, Ruby. I mean, the list is endless in terms of the libraries that we have.
Okay.
And so, yes, you can use C# to call the Microsoft Graph and get data from an Excel spreadsheet.
Okay.
The next question I really like, because I
like
think it's
too.
For both of you, right? Uh-huh. And so maybe we'll have ideas from you, Ina, and then we'll come over to you, Kevin. For someone new to the Graph, this is from Joseph, what is a way I can extend my current application to the Graph, and maybe to get some inspiration out there?
Yeah, that's easy. It all starts with identity. So you can use the same identity that we use on our systems, and that is whether the users are using an actual Active Directory account or a Microsoft account. So you can log in, sign in users with the same identity that we use across Microsoft 365. And then from there, just the world opens up in terms of the data that we have for customers in our services, whether it is their profile information, their picture, their username, their job description, their title, and so forth, to the things that they do every day, like, for example, their messages or the calendar or the files or the activities that are coming into Windows Timeline. It's like all of these data just opens up for you to integrate in your application. So, you know, when you take it back to what Joe was saying, is like your app now expands beyond those four corners and then can integrate between all of the different experiences that Windows and Office have and then use all of the data from the Microsoft Graph.
So now that we've got all this data, what can we do with it now with all the stuff that you're building for devs?
Well, it's kind of the same thing. I think activity is where I would start, right? That's where you're going to get a high level of, you get two features, right? You get the timeline where we built an experience. You'll get sets in the future. But you can actually do pick up where I left off. You can actually do some of the work that you saw where I did it on one device and on another device. You can coordinate actions among your devices. Our goal is to actually kind of inspire developers to think, how do I kind of use multiple devices in cooperation? If you remember Satya's demo yesterday when they talked about that office, mm-hmm. behind the scenes, that was using all of that connectivity that we have in the graph and about the people that were in the graph, allowing you to subscribe to one, knowing who is in the meeting. So that whole coordinated exercise was to inspire people to think, where can I go? What is the scenario that can use multiple facets, multiple devices? Like if I want to really think big, and I know sometimes like, start small, we got activities, we got to pick up where I left off, but the real inspiration is to get to these experiences where just the magic happens. And that's going to require developers to use that graph, use the proximity.
Right.
We actually can let you find out which devices of your own are near you. We do a bunch of smart things.
I remember that stuff,
So this is still available. This is how we do nearby share, and these type of technologies are all there available. You can build them as well as us.
It feels like it's a more human-centric approach to computing.
100% human.
As Absolutely. Opposed
That's why
to,
it starts with identity.
Yeah.
It's all about the human at the center, mm-hmm. and my devices are around me, and I want to coordinate them around me. And I'll say, the real challenge is when we start doing multiple users with multiple sets of devices.
Right.
And we're starting even there. That's that multi-sense, multi-device world we're moving into. And I'd say multi-user world.
Nice.
But it's three multis.
Absolutely.
All right, so the next question coming in from David.
I love this.
Outlook, how about like when you're scheduling a meeting, you get some cool stats and contact card, however, like you've met with Bob.
I love this. He's like, you've met with him 25 times, and he owes you two replies.
This is like, a really nice
and now he's on vacation.
All of that is information that we have available in the graph, right?
Awesome.
Like, how many times you meet with Bob, you know, the fact that you work with Bob very closely, even though Bob might not report to the same organizational structure in your organization, those are information that you can just make a simple REST call and bring in from the graph. And the tasks that we have assigned, Cortana is actually using the Microsoft Graph to remind you of tasks on your that you commit to in your inbox. So these are all some of the capabilities that our own products are using the Microsoft Graph to bring into those experiences.
I'll finally be able to have a computer say, Seth, you did not respond to this. You should.
I was going to say, I'm a little afraid of this because I'm not. I'm great at ghosting people over email, and it's going to be like, you have ignored this person 15 times. Also, I'm sorry to that person.
I can add a little plug-in that says, you should feel shame right now, Seth, for that kind of stuff. And you can do that. Like, maybe add it to my timeline or something.
Yeah.
You should go back and look at this. All right, some more questions.
This one for you, Kevin. Ben Silverman says, what's the new news with the Fluent design?
So first, we did introduce a couple new controls. We do have a Fluent data grid that we're going to be releasing out there, so you can start using that data grid, very common control. They'll have better experience and work with all that multi-sense stuff. We have command bar flyouts. So there's a bunch of these smaller controls and the big ones like grid, so a bunch of those controls that are out there. But the real news is that every developer can now use that, regardless of what code base they're starting from. Not everybody's going to be starting from a new UWP. They can be starting from their existing one. You can put it into your application, update it where you choose, and if you just have even just a simple web browser control, I can go place that in there. I think it was 25, like I said, 25 characters I changed, and I had a full updated modern web control.
That was really cool because I'm always about the demo, man, and you brought the demos. It was amazing. I really liked it. All right, next one from Jen. I saw that adaptive cards was talked about a lot on the shell. What things can I do with them? Can I write my own renderer?
So you actually can write your own renderer. We didn't show it as much on every device, but the whole goal of adaptive cards is it's purely a data format.
Yeah.
It's not a visualization format.
It's
meant to be embedded. So you have these snippets of content from the graph, and we want that to grow and grow over time. Mm-hmm. But now you can take that data, easily put a renderer associated with it, and visualize it inside of any of experience.
Yep.
So if you're going to build an experience like Timeline, you can have it look and feel like it belongs in your experience, just like we made sure it belonged in the Timeline. Works on the web, iOS, Android, on Windows. I think we're looking on a HoloLens card as well. Again,
wow.
Some 3D
Skype,
coolness.
Outlook
Skype
Teams.
Outlook.
Nice.
Right? Like all of these, you can just author your cards as plain JSON. You define the schema that you want to see in the card, and then they render, whether it is in the bot framework, on any of the channels that are being used by Teams and Skype and Outlook. In Outlook, you can, in addition to just render the card, we also have actionable messages, like Charles was showing today.
Yeah.
Right? So, just it's very simple, and then you can visualize them in many different form factors.
All right, we are
almost. I love that the data is live.
That's true.
But that was just awesome. I don't know if everybody caught that, but that data was kept live inside the car. You didn't have to keep flowing. That's magic.
So we are almost out of time. It's a shame. We're going to go real quick. Where can people go to find out more about the Office stuff?
Graph.microsoft.com, and it's not just Office. It's Office, Windows, and Enterprise Mobility and Security.
And it's important you said that.
Available in the Graph. Yes.
I just live in Office, so everything is Office.
Well, I really like that you live in Office. That's awesome.
Kevin.
But it's more than that.
Dev.windows.com, and go get an insider build, whether it's for Office or for Windows, and try it out.
Awesome. We will see you after the break. We've got tons of great content. See you in a little bit.